Today we're having a youth focus, so those who know me will know I don't do things normally, so the first thing is actually about a children's group rather than a youth focus, but you'll see why it links in. Trackers, some of you will know, is a club that we've just restarted for any child in years 3 to 6. And it's been, we ran it for 20 years, we had a bit of a break, and we've restarted. And our kind of tagline is, exploring life and faith together whilst having lots of fun. And these posters, this one's been done by the kids. All the posters we're doing today have been done by the kids, and you guys are going to pray for them in a minute. And what we do is we have lots of games, we have a tuck shop, we have crafts, and we have a thought for the week. And this week, just very briefly, I was really encouraged. We got the kids to write any questions they could ask God. We said, if you could ask God, what would you write? And we had some really big ones. Does heaven and hell exist? Why did you create me? Things like that. We had some little ones. Can I have a pizza? But we also had some quite personal ones that shows what they're thinking about. That one was, please can you let people pass me the ball in ball games because it's unfair when they don't. And I love the fact that we provide an opportunity for them to ask things that are really important to them. So Trackers is a fantastic place. We've got a few leaders. If any of the Trackers leaders are here today, if you can stand up, I think it might just be Lucy. We've got Elaine and a guy called Connor. And Ali is going to be our reserve leader if we're ever short on leaders. We've got a couple of young leaders as well. So Trackers is a great place. So Anna, go and find somewhere just to sit with that poster. Anywhere. Fantastic. And the next two together, we have De Biz. The reason we've gone for Trackers is De Biz links brilliantly with Trackers. They go through Trackers and they come up to De Biz Youth Club, which is for any pupil in years 7 to 9. Last term, we had 66 different people coming. We averaged just under 40. It's so popular at the minute that we've had to shut the doors and say no new ones, which is in one sense a bit of a shame. But it's great because especially, as lots of you will know, there's no secondary school in Hull. And so De Biz is a place for these kids to come. They go to lots of other secondary schools and they come together with their friends. We haven't got many church people coming at the minute, but that's not a problem because it's great for them to come into this environment. Again, a lot of the leaders are Christians and we provide loads of things. They like coming. I'm not going to read everything on the poster because, like I say, we're going to pray in a minute and we're going to leave them out at the end for you to get an idea as well. So please pray for these people. Someone like Alex, who we saw on the video earlier on, was someone who came to Trackers, someone who came to De Biz, and that helped his journey along. Yes, he might not have been a Christian. He didn't become a Christian straight away, but these clubs play such an important part in showing these people just how much God loves them and how much he wants them to have the best life. So if you two can go and find a random space, you don't have to be next to each other, just go find a space, and I'll hand over to Paul.
Cool, so we got...
Oh, sorry, I forgot to say, we've got any De Biz leaders can stand up as well. I think we have Lucy and John as well, and a few others. Cheers, guys.
So Jigsaw leaders, anyone? If you help out, stand up, thanks to you. Because when you start to actually see how much youth and kids work, we've only highlighted one kids work bit, but all the youth that goes on, you're like, it is amazing. When you see how many different people volunteer, it's amazing as well. You always need more volunteers, but it's still amazing to see how many actually do it. So Jigsaw, we do Sunday mornings and we do Sunday evenings, whenever church meets, basically, or the all-age the main gatherings like today. If you want to find out more, speak to someone. Anyone who attends Jigsaw, stand up. If you're a young person who attends, there we go. They're already standing up somewhere. Ask them. Ask them what it's like, what you enjoy about it. Go find somewhere to sit. So we have TNT, which is on Thursdays. That's our kind of discipleship group, which this morning is put together by TNT. So, again, God's doing loads amongst them. Stand up if you're in TNT. If you want to find out, go speak to them. Go find somewhere. Thank you. Coffee Bar Late. So, you've got Coffee Bar and Coffee Bar Late, which is Fridays. This is mainly attended by people in the community. Currently, there's no Christians attending. But it's a great way of just meeting people and through conversations, basically. We'll bring God into it. As you can tell, probably from some of their artwork, they're not Christian yet. Hence the skulls and things like that. Opportunity to pray, that's all I can say. So stand up if you help out with that. Mark and David. So most of our volunteers are non-Christian as well. But Mark and David... help, and without them it couldn't run, so thank you to them. Go find somewhere to sit. Engage, so that's like joint event, great opportunity for evangelism, things like that. Only happens roughly once a year. The next one is in July. If you want to find out more, come speak to me. Go find someone to sit. Ignite, so it's a joint church thing. Happens every second Friday of the month. An opportunity for worship. Great preaching, yeah. Enjoy Ignite, young people, yeah. Very vocal. Great place to bring your friends, yeah. Go find someone to sit. And Soul Survivor happens once a year. Anyone enjoy Soul Survivor? I must get a shout out for that. So that's happening this year in August. Volunteers for that. People going. We got Ed and we got stand up. Some people can see. There you go. Cool. Sorry. If you go find somewhere to sit.
Yeah, so for the next few minutes, what we're going to say is if you're near one of these posters, gather around the people, have a think about praying for those people. If you're near one of the leaders, gather around them. And I've just noticed Elaine creeping at the side as well, one of our wonderful Trackers leaders. Thanks, Elaine. Pray for these leaders. Pray for strength. Pray for just that whatever the group is, whether it's a group full of Christians, whether it's a group that's got virtually no Christians, pray that God's presence is there. We've heard Alex's testimony that was so powerful. We want to hear more of that. We want to see these non-Christians becoming Christians. We want to see the young people we have in our church already Christians becoming stronger and stronger in their life of discipleship and sharing their faith with other people. So we're just going to give you 5-10 minutes, is it, to pray?
So to make it easier, if you all stand up on your feet. I said this morning would be slightly different, didn't we? We did warn you. Okay, and I don't know about you, but quite often it's easier to pray out loud, pray when you don't know what anyone else is praying. So to give us all confidence, we will all pray at the same time. Yeah? And if we're praying out loud all at the same time, you can't be worried what someone else is saying. Obviously, if you're not comfortable praying out loud, please don't pray out loud. Feel free not to, that's okay. There should be enough of us praying out loud. So if you're not comfortable praying out loud, that's fine. Okay, and I'll count you in, shall I? Otherwise you get that one person who's keen and everyone else just waits. So, are you all by someone? You know your posters? Have you looked at what's written on them? So you've got some ideas where you can pray around? If you're not by a poster, quickly move. Or by a leader, quickly move. Yeah, all ready? Yeah, brilliant. So, 1, 2, 3, let's start praying. So God, I thank you for what you're doing in youth, in HBC, and all the different activities, including Trackers. God, we want to pray for blessing over those activities, blessing for the people who help out, and... Cool. How did that go? That all go well? Fancy praying again? So this time, if you hold a poster, move and go to somewhere else. So you can pray for something different. Okay, have a read of your poster so you know what the activity is. If you're not by a poster because they've moved, have a wander, see if you can find one. You'll read something, yeah. You all ready to pray? Fancy praying the same way, all loud again? Or do you want to do something different this time? Same again. Cool. So, I'll count you in, shall I? 1, 2, 3, let's pray. So, God, I thank you for what you're doing in TNT. And what an awesome privilege that is. Afterwards, we'll have all the posters out. So, if you want to look at those things more, you can do. Just put them in the corner somewhere. If you want to chat to any of the leaders or get involved, Andy will be here as well, and myself. Chat to some of the young people and just find out a bit more of what God's doing amongst us.
Acts 3, verse 19. Repent, then, and turn to God so that he will forgive your sins. To repent, it leads a person to say, I have sinned. In an honest, regretful acknowledgement of their sin with a commitment to change.
I have sinned. I feel bad that I have sinned and let God down, so I will try and stop sinning first before I give them to you.
Ephesians 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God.
So James's little demonstration there was basically to say that if you repent and give your sin to Jesus, it's gone instantly, and you can get hold of his grace and get hold of his love, and you can turn away from that, and it's your choice. You don't have to hold on to what you're sinning about or what you feel bad about. It can just, if you give it to Jesus, it's gone. Like, you can embrace his love. So during our sessions last week, we've looked at grace in quite a lot of detail, and we've looked at stories like the prodigal son, and in particular, I think the image of the father embracing the son, despite him being covered in pig poo, I think it was, really struck a chord with many of us.
When exploring this, we realised that a lot of the time, making a mistake brings shame, and that a lot of the time you don't feel ready to go to God as soon as it's happened. But that's all God wants, because he knows that was going to happen anyway. He doesn't want any of us to be happy when unhappy when we don't need to be.
So we've looked at quite a few verses over the last few weeks, and we would like to encourage that any of you that want to come and talk to us, we'll be around at the end of the service, and we'd love you to pray with us or just give us tips for other verses to look at.
Thank you to them. And do you want to come back in? I should have took my notes with me, shouldn't I? And that one. So you did a good job tonight. Thank you. So the theme is grace and culture of grace. And there's loads of little things in that song, and particularly the drama thing. And I was caught by how for us sometimes, and for them, and if we're honest, that when we do sin and stuff up, so often we think we have to sort ourselves out before we come to God. But his grace is that amazing that he paid the price for our sin, that it's actually as we come to him, that's when he cleans us up and sorts it out. And so his grace should be so empowering that actually we can forgive ourselves straight away because he's forgiven us. Like they demonstrated, it takes that repentance and going to him and saying, God, I'm sorry, and turning around. And they've given you the verses for that. But sometimes we still hold on to things, don't we? And if you're holding on to it, how can God deal with it or there be change if we don't actually let things go? And I don't believe, you know, there is the verse that says, I'll tell you what it is if I picked up my right notes. Yep, 2 Corinthians. Not 2 Corinthians, sorry. Romans 8. So therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And so God doesn't want to leave us condemned. He might convict us of our sin and say, hey, Paul, this needs sorting in your life. You need to sort this out. And we chatted about that and how God will say, look, because that's the whole purpose, is to be made into his image and demonstrate more of his glory. So he will highlight things and say, do you know what? That doesn't quite fit. But his grace is that amazing that he paid the price for that, and he can clean that up and he can sort that out. But we've got to be willing to say and give it up. And I was thinking of the line, blinded by your grace. What does that look like? You could say Paul on the road, or Saul at that time on the road to Damascus, was blinded by God's grace. This is a guy who's done so much wrong stuff, including getting Christians killed, and suddenly he has an encounter with Jesus that turns his life around. So therefore, if I'm blinded by God's grace, it could be that place where all I see is Jesus and his ability to forgive my sin because he's paid the price. So therefore, I don't keep looking at the stuff I've done wrong. Instead, I focus on him, and with him can walk into a place of freedom. Does that make sense? And therefore, so what does it look like to be a people who live that culture of grace? So it's first of all, I've got to catch that for me. Okay, so I believe if I live a culture of grace and can continue to be blinded by his grace, that means when I make a mistake, I'll be fast to get back up, go to Jesus, repent, and move forward and grow, rather than continually be held down by my mistakes or continually wrestle with them. Or like the example gave of sometimes we feel like we need to clean ourselves up first and almost stop sinning before we can be forgiven for the sin we've done. Where God wants to say, let's forgive you and let's go on that journey to help you be free, instead of isolating ourselves from him. But then what does it look like if I live that culture and catch it for other people too? So you'll all have that person sometimes who does something that will annoy you or wind you up. So what does it look like to be a people who move in God's grace? Because so often we can hold on to things, don't we, that people do against us and say, well, they've done that. So instead of seeing them through God's eyes and being able to love them, if we don't move in grace and God's grace towards them, suddenly we find it's our judgments that we start to see. It's our bad attitudes that we start to see. And therefore, we'll start to treat them differently than if we see them through the eyes of grace. And I love how Stormzy, just to put a big disclaimer out there, don't all go home and look up Stormzy and think, what an amazing song. He's definitely a Christian artist. Let's listen to his whole album. Because the likelihood is it will offend you. So just don't do that. And I gave the young people that warning too. There will be language in it. But what you've got is this guy who's from, you know, rough housing estates, etc. He's gone to church or been brought up in church, and he's wrestling. And you can tell by that song, is that someone who's had an encounter with Jesus? What do you reckon? 100%. I don't think you can write that unless you've had an encounter with Jesus. He's had an encounter with Jesus, but yet there's still struggles with him. And his whole album talks about those struggles. From gangsters to prayer is what his album's about. And it talks about those struggles. Therefore, some of the songs you'll avoid. But there's a reality. So what does God's grace like? He can use a rapper who's still not perfect, who still makes a mistake, who still sins, to actually stir something up in my heart and in young people's hearts to say, actually, there's something about God's grace. Let's look at that. So much so that he sings it on Radio 1 in the live lounge and everything else, and the whole and becomes a massive song in the whole of our country about God's grace. And yet this is a guy who's not perfect. Like, how much of that, of God's grace, does that demonstrate of what a great God we serve? And so we can disqualify ourselves because of not being perfect, or disqualify someone else because of not being perfect. But yet the God that I love and serve is a God who's desperate to demonstrate he loves. Whether you know him yet or you don't. And I love then, like, you've got this guy Stormzy. And anyone heard of Wretch 3-2? No, again, probably don't listen to his album. Ed Sheeran? Anyone heard of Ed Sheeran? Can you listen to his album? It's all right, isn't it? Yeah, you can listen to that. So there's another video on YouTube which you can listen to, which is Wretch 3-2 and Ed Sheeran and Stormzy, and they do this song. And Wretch 3-2 raps, and it's an amazing rap. I got Ed to listen to it on Friday. And in this rap, you can tell he's got the same battle where he's caught something of God, but he's still battling with some of his struggles. And I love how one guy has drawn other people in, including Ed Sheeran, and it's all about God. Like, how amazing is that? And they're all singing, blinded by your grace. God, we're blinded by your grace. I don't know where they're up to with their walk with God, but what I do know is grace is one of the key ways of God demonstrating and stepping in and starting to impact lives and reveal who he is. And if we catch that, I think as a church, that's the key to starting to impact lives, is we start to see things by his grace, not their mistakes. So let's take good old the biz poster and the skulls and all that kind of stuff. I could take offense of someone writing skulls ready for a church meeting. And when I saw them drawing their skulls, I was like, brilliant, here we go. But actually, they're being real. And that's currently what's in them. And that's the overflow of their heart, of what they draw when they draw. I'd love them to be blinded by God's grace, that actually he completely transforms them. And what comes out of them is something completely different. Because I don't believe that's the person that God created them to be, is for that to come out of them. I believe as they get healed up and they meet with Jesus, something else will flow out of their heart. So therefore, I don't take offense of currently what flows out of their heart, because I want to, just like Jesus looks at me and loved me yet while I was still a sinner, I want to see them through the eyes of grace and draw out what's really inside them. And therefore, I would see it as a privilege of being able to spend time with that person and take my opportunities to demonstrate God's love and demonstrate God's grace, because I'm desperate to draw that out of their heart. And so therefore, if we catch being a culture of grace and trying to be blinded by his grace, whenever we see someone, imagine that, instead of seeing their faults and their failures and the things that wind you up, you're like, all you see is God's grace over their lives. You see him when you look at them. How much easier will it be to love them? How much easier will it be to forgive them? Is it easy to move in grace towards people? I tell you now from my life, it is not. I don't always find it easy to move in grace towards people. I don't always find it easy to forgive as I should do. And because stuff hurts, doesn't it? And when stuff hurts and people hurt you, is it easy to move in grace? Of course it's not, if we're real. We'll want to be like, I ain't talking to them. They've hurt me. And it still hurts, so I'm going to avoid them. But what does God say? Does he still love? Of course he still loves them. Can I forgive them? Because it says, forgive, Lord's Prayer, forgive as you forgive others. So therefore I should forgive them. And I've been chatting through and processing and forgiving some of the people that hurt me and caused me. And some of it wasn't deliberate. They didn't deliberately hurt me. But I got hurt in the process. And I've processed through from the place of forgiveness. And it took time. And from the place of catching God's grace for them. And as I've done that, I've been able to see their heart and who God created them to be and things like that. And what a privileged place. And so some of the relationships that broke down in my life that I was like, will I ever be friends with this person? Suddenly there's a place where I can be friends again. Not because they've come first and said, we're sorry or whatever, or it's all sorted, but actually because I've come to God and gone, God, I want to work this through with you and catch your grace and forgive and see what happens. And so some of those friendships or some of those relationships, will they be restored? No, they won't, because restoration does require change as well. But some of the others, there will be change because either way I'm free, but there is change because of God's grace. And some of the people that had hurt me, I'd remember turning up to a meeting and they were leading worship. And as I walked in, I was like, great. How can I lead worship to people that have hurt me? How can I do that? Because the only way I can do that is I focus on him and see their heart again. And it's like, are they worshippers? Yeah, they are. Do they still love him? Yeah, they do. God, I'm going to forgive and I'm going to worship and I'm going to focus on you and your grace and apply that to my life and come to a place of breakthrough. Was it easy? No. Do I still have to keep looking at the cross and looking through his eyes? Of course I do. But does it bring a place of freedom and change? Of course it does. And that's what it's like to live out his grace. And so in response, where am I up to on time? Bang on time. So, as you can already tell, we like to do things slightly differently. Which I thought this part would do slightly differently as well. So I'm someone who, I find it easier to respond or change by actually doing things, or because then afterwards I'm like, I've done something, I've made a declaration, I've done something. So this is my challenge for you. And then we'll have a time of worship. My challenge is this. applying God's grace to your life, being someone who actually goes to Jesus and lets him take those things off before you fully get it all sorted out in your strength, because I guarantee you will never fully get it sorted out in your strength. And so like the drama we had, will you be the person who actually lets him deal with those things, come to him and repent and deal with them rather than try and fix it in all in your strength? Will you actually start to forgive yourself and let yourself go on things? Because that's how you catch his grace for your life and come to a place of freedom. And so if that's you, I should have some post-it notes and things like that. And I've got some bins. Pardon? There we go. So I've got some bins and I've got some paper. So what I'd love you to do is write that thing down. So say it's like I'm struggling with, say it's swearing. I'm struggling with swearing and I'm struggling to forget. I'll write it down. God, I'm going to give this to you. Chuck it in the bin of God, I give this to you. I come to the cross this morning, I give this to you. And then on my post-it notes, you can write, I accept God's forgiveness and his grace and the fact he loves me. And I'm going to change in his strength, not in mine. And you take something that reminds you there's a change. Or it might be the second part of the challenge. Is it someone who annoys you like mad? Or that you need to forgive? Or and recatch God's heart for that person? And God's grace for that person. So you might be, you write their name down and you put it on and you're like, God, I put them at the feet of the cross and I come to you and I'm going to start to love them in your strength and see them as you see them. It might not be the relationship gets restored. I'm not saying that. But actually, there's a coming to a place of doing it in God's strength. And again, then you'd write away, God, I'm going to start to see them through your eyes. Whatever fits for you, and you can take that with you. That's my challenge for you. So what we do is, I've got pens. Youth band, would you like to come up? We'll have a time of worship. We will leave. I think they're gone. So if there's no post-it notes, because I think they have disappeared. There's like a whole pack somewhere. Yeah, it was like 100. There you go. Post-it notes. Some of them may have been, you know, but it's all right. I don't know about you, see. Is it the thing that gives me the strength to change is being loved? What does worship do? Puts me in the place of meeting with him. Puts me in the place of meeting with him. Where I can be blinded by his grace. And out of looking at him and being blinded by his grace, that's where I can come and be transformed and be changed and give things up and be a people like that. And so there they are. There's some pens there which I'll put on the table. We'll worship. And while we're worshiping, feel free to come up, write something down, chuck it in a bin, grab something, write something on a piece of paper, and I'll pray if that's all right. You have to start playing something cool. So God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for what everyone's brought. And God, I thank you that we can be blinded by your grace. And that's our heart this morning, God, is I thank you. Your grace is amazing. You paid the price for our sin, for everything. And it just takes the confidence and the guts to come to you and say sorry and repent and turn around. And you can deal with it and pay the price and set us free. And it's not always easy, God, but this morning we want to be a people who catch how much you love us and allow you to love on us. We want to position ourselves at the place of the cross where we can allow you to love on us as we lay these things down. And then be a people who catch your grace and live out a culture of grace, that it doesn't matter what's going on in other people's lives, we can see how you created them to be. Because we keep positioning ourselves at the place of catching your grace. In Jesus' name. youth work and church leadership and stuff like that. And then I burnt out and was ill for, I think I stopped work, full-time work, three and a half years ago. And so when I did stop work, I'd lost everything because the church that I was working for finished. And so I'd lost church and I'd lost my health and my job because I worked for the church and everything. So what have I found? You could definitely say there's hopelessness, there's despair, there's not understanding, there's God, why? There's all this stuff. And particularly as the doctors could have diagnosed me with celiac 4 years earlier, which meant from a burnout perspective, my body would have had enough nutrients rather than me living without enough nutrients. So I did weigh 9.5 stone, and I now weigh 11 stone 3 after changing my diet and being on gluten-free. And so therefore my body was malnourished for years and years and years, and God could have highlighted it 4 years earlier, and I could have had the nutrients I was meant to have had so much earlier, but I didn't. Do I know why? No. Do I believe God deliberately makes me ill? No. Because he's a good dad. As a good dad, I don't deliberately make my kids ill, or that doesn't fit. So what do? I embrace the mystery. It says, do you know what? I don't understand. But what I do know, he's a good God. So in the time of hopelessness and despair and looking like I don't understand, and God, what are you doing? What I come back to is everything gets stripped away to the point where God is enough. He's enough. 100%. With nothing. Without my plans being fulfilled. Without anything. He's enough. And then what does he do? That God does restore. He does restore. It might not be the way I ever saw it. It might. Did I ever see God position me amongst you people? No. Ask Andy and see. Did they ever see God position me here? No. But do I believe that's part of the restoration? 100%. 100%. Do I believe I'm in the right place? 100%. Do I believe it's a privilege? 100%. To do the youth work stuff, that for me is God restoring. God restoring. Is that a blessing? 100%. Did I ever see it? No. Because he restores. He restores the brokenhearted. I was brokenhearted. He restores. He heals. When you don't have the answers, he's got the answers. And some of them he'll say, you don't need to know the answers. You just need to know I'm a good God. And that's okay. That's how amazing his grace is. And it was hard. And there might have been times I gave up on hope, or there just wasn't enough hope, rather than gave up. And he restores. And whatever you walk through, he restores. And it can be hard, can't it, as a church? It's like we're desperate to see God move and desperate to see God add. And you can hear it every year of stuff's going to change and stuff's going to happen and you can lose hope. But do you know what? It does happen. It does happen. I'm an example. God does do stuff. He does restore. You will see your heart's desires. And just keep walking, keep going. Do I believe like Sam, of like his vision and dreams of stadiums being filled? There's hope. In there, there's hope. It can happen. His grace, his favor, his love, there's a way through. All things work for good for those who love him. There's a way through. We can see awesome stuff, people. I'm convinced. There's awesome stuff. So can we sing that? Again. Yeah, that chorus. Because that's the truth. It's like, so God, I thank you for what you are doing amongst us. I thank you, God, there is life amongst us. There is love amongst us. There is light. There is hope. And you are restoring. And you are great. We will keep declaring, God, that you are great. When we don't see it, you are great. We'll keep positioning ourselves in a place of seeing and being blinded by your grace, because you are great. So you all happy to join me?
thought I'm going to gate crash your party and give some feedback. So roll up, roll up, roll up. Get some ride tickets here. Tickets for the journey. Please sit down. It's not going to be long. So I climbed off this journey. Life's a journey, and it's we're all on this train from somewhere to somewhere else. And the McQueens climbed off this journey about 2.5 years ago, and this coach has been carrying on. And it's really good to see the half of you don't know me. So there's some new folk on the coach. And I just wanted to give some feedback from someone who's climbed off on the station, was sent to a town where they don't say their H's or their T's. So when you do this, then you're Ed. So we've popped into the coach again, and I really want to just give some positive feedback on what I've seen. I thought that it'd be valuable. So the first thing is that some people have grown a bit older, and I spent most of the time trying to work out whose kids were whose, and I really didn't get it all right, and so that's good. Some of us have got a few more wrinkles. I think it's probably the guys who climbed off the coach, but we're all looking beautiful and handsome. So this is a good coach we're on. This is just fantastic. This is really something to celebrate. Yeah. I mean, these were really little lads when we left, and it's just 2.5 years. But I'd just like to give some feedback to the girls in particular for the sermon part. And you think that might just be small stuff. It might just be the odd verse that we all know. But let me tell you that Psalm 139, 10 years ago, almost to the day, and I was sitting in South Africa, and that bit where it says, I'll be on the other side of the sea, that's the verse that actually got us to leave the country. So it's quite an important verse. Jeremiah 29, I've got hopes and plans for you. Well, in 6 months, 9 months' time, I don't know where we're going to be, but that's the verse that I hold on every day. So it's really good stuff that you're trying to instill. So what I'm trying to say is the little bits that we do make a big difference. It's the foundation, it's the coach, it's the journey, it's the railroad tracks that we're riding on, and we are going on the right road. And God is God's grace. We're speaking about God's grace today. You know, God's riches at Christ's expense. That was fantastic, the stuff we did. Did you get it? I suppose you all know it, God's riches at Christ's expense. So really, this journey we're on, wherever it's going, however it's getting there, I think you're in a great coach. I think you've chosen the right one. It's not the quiet coach. It's the right coach. Yeah. It's got new people at the faces, got young people coming in, got some older people staying. It's really good to say, good to see. And just to summarize, I think that we're on the right journey. This is the right coach. The conductor's pretty good. And by golly, the train driver, praise his name. He has got us in the right. So roll up and buy these tickets. Thank you.
Thank you. In our posters, the one thing we did miss was youth worship. And so if we can thank, if you're involved in helping with youth worship, could you stand up as well? Because there's loads of people involved in. So could we just thank them as well? And remember to take the opportunity to pray as well, because what God is doing is amazing. There's loads of good stuff going on. And if out of this morning there's stuff that you're like, I want to get prayed for, grab someone to get prayed for. If there's stuff that's stirred in your heart, it's like, I want to chat to some of the young people and find out, chat to them. If you still want to write stuff down, you're like, oh, I should have done it, it's too late now. Write it down, chuck it in the bin. By the way, they're all going in the bin. I won't read anything. It'll all be chucked. So God, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for all the different areas. I want to thank you for the youth worship, what they've brought, for every single part. And God, we want to go out today with a fresh view and looking for the opportunities to be blinded by your grace, looking for the opportunities to demonstrate your grace, to demonstrate your forgiveness, to bring hope, to bring love, to bring peace, to bring restoration, to bring healing. We want to live out the vision of what HBC is about, bringing healing, wholeness and freedom to broken lives and communities, God.
And it starts by catching your grace. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you.